One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is episode 2, Miles Over Matter. The 101 on running with twice the health. Welcome to the Alternatively Healthy podcast. I am your host, Becky Rabin, personal trainer, wellness coach, and founder of online wellness magazine, Alternatively Healthy. This is your high vibe, soul soothing weekly dose of wellness. Each week, I will be getting up close and personal, bringing you conversation and insight with some of the wellness industry's most renowned health practitioners, coaches, experts, and thought leaders from around the world. Through our podcast, we hope to give you all the information, resources, and tools that you need to help shape the healthiest and happiest version of you. Twice the Health is made up of nutritionist Emily and personal trainer Hannah. And before you ask, no, they're not related. They began Twice the Health following finding themselves a very last-minute spot to run the London Marathon. With just 10 weeks to train, they encountered all kinds of problems, but in true Twice the Health fashion, they made it through and completed the 2015 Virgin London Marathon in a time they remain incredibly proud of. From then on out, there was no stopping them. The girls follow one mantra, which tends to coincide with everything they do from lunch to lunges. That mantra is to make health their happiness. We are proud to have the girls as Alternatively Healthy resident experts. And yes, they are always together. And yes, they are always wearing the exact same outfit from top to bottom. So, welcome to the show, girls.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for coming.
And for the delicious breakfast.
Oh yeah, we've just had a breakfast, guys. Sorry, a little bit of scrambled and salmon. So I am excited to have you here today because we've been doing a lot of content on the site with running and how to get into running and also how to get maybe to an advanced level. And there's been a lot of great feedback. So really excited for all you guys out there listening today as to if you're wanting to get better at running or if you're maybe preparing for a marathon. And really excited to have you both on board because you're just two of the most inspirational little bunnies running around this industry at the moment. It's mad how much you guys do. Before we start, Hannah and Emily, introduce yourselves as Twice the Health and tell us a little bit about you guys. And, oh, just as an FYI, guys, some of you can't see, but they are, of course, wearing the exact same.
Always.
But yes, tell us a little bit about yourselves and how Twice the Health.
Well, I'm Emily.
And I'm Hannah. And actually, it's good that we've cleared that bit up because we're normally H and E, we get everything.
Well, actually, you always get Hannah, yeah. I get Emma.
Really?
People just guess. They're like, you know what? I'm going to throw in an Emma. Just stick with E if you don't know.
Do people always not always know your names as well? Do they just know you're supposed to help?
Yeah.
They really know.
Or they know our names, but not which way around.
Which way around we are. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I bet. And also, do you get that your sister's quite a lot?
Or a couple.
Yeah, we got asked if we were a couple. She was like, it was a DM, wasn't it? She was like, I just wondered if you were just best friends or if you are a couple.
Best friends. Do you know what? Tess and I used to get that. And I remember once when I put something about her boyfriend, someone replied to my stories being like, oh my God, my life is broken. I thought you two were actually a couple because we call each other wife. They were actually like, oh my God, I thought you guys were actually together. And I was like, no, but I mean,
yeah, I mean, we wouldn't have anything against that, but I was like, if you wear matching outfits to your partner, that's sad.
Yeah.
Your best friend, I know that you can do it.
But. On the matching outfit thing, I know we were talking about how you got to where you are, we will get onto that. But on the matching outfits front, can you just tell everyone, because honestly, I've never seen these girls, even if they're just training in the gym just themselves, not doing anything branded or anything work related. They are head to toe. Actually, the other day, I caught you both in different leggings.
Yes, you did.
You did.
And I was like, they're wearing different leggings.
Damn.
But how do you do it? How do you actually, like...
It's laundry related, right?
Yeah, it's just down to... Yeah, so
okay.
Unless you don't always wear the same, then the wrong stuff is in the wash. Is this really sad truth?
Yeah.
Have you ever actually, like,
made a big mistake and both worn different things.
We wore once a pair of leggings. You're like, I'm wearing the grey and black ones.
Yeah.
I wore the grey and black ones, but she was actually wearing blue and black ones.
And do brands get funny about it, or
Enough, actually, brands send us unmatching things.
And you wear matching clothes, and then they send us different ones, and we're
that's
like,
ridiculous.
Like, so we sent you the same, but in different colours. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
That's handy. We'll dye them then, shall we?
Okay, so back to where, sorry, we got like waylaid with clothes, but it's all part of fun. So yeah, tell us your story. How did Twice the Health come about?
So
you've been in the game for a long time.
We have been in the game for a long time. So Twice the Health started about 3 years ago. And definitely was, I think it's important to say that we never started Twice the Health to become a business.
Not at all.
We started Twice the Health because we lived together and we were sharing the same images and
trained the same, ate the same.
And we didn't actually wear the same at this point, but we did a lot of things the same. And we thought our friends were getting bored. We also...
Like, we'll just put this somewhere else.
We'll put this somewhere else, exactly what I was doing.
And also kind of peak timing, I guess, is that we landed a very last-minute place to run London Marathon, which was about 10, 12 weeks before. So we decided that we'd document the journey kind of as a crash course, which ultimately failed because crash courses always do. And one of us was knocked out. One of us just got knocked out.
I got really annoyed and I basically just hit her.
She's hitting me. So we started it because of that. And I think we were very lucky in that we kind of were with the right people at the right time and kind of attended the right events and were doing the right kind of thing to be picked up by the industry a little bit. It went from there. And then we went through a funny kind of year and a half where we just kind of ticked over. And it was the right thing at the time because...
We both started full-time jobs.
No. Yeah. But also we were going to classes people wanted to go to. We were wearing the clothes people wanted to wear. Kind of by accident, it wasn't an intentional thing, but it did help kind of build the brand.
That classic time when everyone was just doing what everyone else was doing.
Yeah.
Smoothie in hand.
It was so matchy-matchy.
Yeah.
We sort of looked at each other, like, what are we providing?
Yeah.
Would we follow us?
Yeah.
And, we knew we would always try and focus on always trying to make people feel better. We'd never do posts where it was like, look how amazing I am, sort of stuff. But are we actually, apart from that, are we providing anything else?
Are we offering anything different?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we ran the London Marathon, obviously, and then fell out of love with running totally.
Oh.
And despite having always loved running and
for
grew
six
up
months.
Running, we were up for like 6 months.
What was it that made you fall out of love with it? The knocking out? Or?
I think because you were injured in the run-up, so afterwards you needed that time out.
Yeah.
And then I don't really like running on my own, even though we won't necessarily talk a huge amount. I've always had a running heart, like, throughout school, and I've always run with my sister as well. So I just don't really like running on my own. So then I was like, well, if you're not going, then you're going to spin class and stuff instead. So I was like, I'll go do that.
And I think, you know, we kind of landed ourselves in this crazy fitness industry that suddenly all these different classes and types of training were coming out of thin air. And we got absorbed in them, and it was working. So we did, and then obviously we made this big plan to run the Grand Canyon, which, again, didn't really come from us falling back in love with running because we weren't running a huge amount at that time.
It was more the adventure.
It was more,
location.
So this was like 3 years ago still?
Was 2 years ago,
Well,
it was a year in the planning
because
we hiked it before Twice the Health, then we ran the London Marathon, and then during that time we were already planning running it.
Yeah. And that's when we kind of started to find our groove a little bit, and we were like, this is what we like doing, this adventure, more focused on running.
And
not focusing on the clock as well was a massive change, because we grew up on an athletics track and a second meant the world to us.
Yeah.
And we didn't run further than 1500 metres, and that was like far
for
us. But we did cross country as well, but still, like, the clock mattered so much and where we finished. And obviously, like, we still enjoy getting a PB every now and again, but the main focus is the enjoyment of our runs and where we are, and having the opportunity to stop and take a photo of the Grand Canyon and not be like, let's go.
So it kind of gave running a new kind of meaning and a new kind of lease of life for us, and kind of haven't stopped running since. But I'd say it's only really in the last year that we've really been able to kind of grasp what it is we want to do with Twice the Health and give it the running focus that we've wanted to for so long. And you made a really good point the other day. We were talking to someone and saying that until like a year ago, running wasn't that cool. Strength training was cool, and that's what girls should have done. Girls should strength train because we want to be strong and we need to defy this whole, like, skinny thing. Yeah. And so it wasn't that cool to run. And now it's becoming, the industry's breathing again.
Yeah.
And people are being given space to actually do what they want to do. And running's back in, you know, it's back on trend.
And now I think that's a really interesting point to touch on. It's throughout the whole journey that you're talking about, there's actually quite a lot of different things that were like fads that made you change. Any excess noise is the dog, and I've just got kicked by her. I think, like, you know, you said you got lost a bit as what your message was because all the boutique things came out, and then you're so right in that I feel like the industry is finally now breathing, as in, like, people are wanting to do things for their mind again.
Yeah,
oh, massively.
So I guess that's quite a good question to ask you guys, is how much does mindset play in kind of what you're doing with the running, but also just in general, when it comes to anyone listening to this that might be like, do you know what, I just want to, I'm done with weight training, I'm done with HIIT training, and I want to get into running. Yeah. What would you say the biggest advice is when it comes to, like, mindset?
We've always been very lucky with mindset, I think, throughout our, before we even knew each other, and we have always been pretty positive people, and obviously you have your down days, but nowhere near what other people have had to struggle with.
Yeah.
So I feel like, just first of all, it's who we are, and we're very lucky about that. And then secondly, is having someone else to share a passion with, that you're like a happy competitive. So like, we boost each other up instead of being like, oh, I'm one above you. So I think that's really important.
It's actually becoming more and more apparent, like the more I do now, and I do realize that comes with improvement. But I think people get very stuck in a training routine and training program, and that's not a necessarily a bad thing. We have a training program.
Yeah.
We work very well off routine and we like it, and we work very well off that program because we see ourselves improving all the time.
Yeah.
But I honestly do look forward to running because I look forward to the feeling it gives me, not just the feeling afterwards, obviously. And it's feeling we talk about a lot is incredible. But I love being outside and I love running, and I love that my body is constantly getting stronger and becoming more efficient and being able to do this better and better and better. And that's such a great feeling. And it's going back to, we've given ourselves time to focus on something that makes us not only feel good, obviously, like, whatever aesthetics and stuff come with that, but something that honestly makes us feel good and feel good about doing it and getting better at it and improving and being able to share knowledge on it all the time.
Yeah.
Rather than just being stuck in this training rut, which I think for a little bit we were just training to train. And it's such a nice feeling to wake up and look forward to your training.
I think that's such a key thing as well, is like training to train. So I was doing that. I started a program of weight training, and I was really enjoying having, like, I think more because I was learning. And I also think that when I got into weight training, and I do think that the weight training fad happened as a result of people craving more than going to the gym and just doing HIIT and like feeling crap.
Because you can't really measure HIIT.
Yeah. And like, you know, that intense stress on your body all the time it's stress. And I feel like that actually weight training for me, I fell in love with doing it with my clients because I saw their mindset change to something other than their body, other than aesthetics. It was about, could they do a pull-up, could they do, what was
their body
what was the weight that they were lifting. So that's why I think as an industry we're kind of craving more, and I feel like now we're craving even more than that because people got stuck in that training.
I think also with mindset, it is so cliche but so simple. It is what makes you happy. I think people overthink mindset, like, oh, is my training doing this? Or do I feel like I'm a better version of being? And they feel like there's too much, and just enjoying your training, like, isn't enough and needs to give you this other purpose and meaning. It doesn't. As long as you go to the gym or go on your run or whatever and you come back happier and more content, or just more relaxed even, you might still be upset about something, but you feel more at peace with that, then it's doing what it should be doing. Yeah. It doesn't need to give you this higher being feeling.
What you were saying as well, as humans, we crave measurables. So we crave being able to say, I did this and it did this amount. And like, for example, when we tell people we ran 50K, they're like, cool. But if you tell them I ran 30 miles, they're like, oh my God, that's further than a marathon. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because they can compare it to something that they recognize and they know. And it's kind of similar with HIIT training. Like, how do you measure how great at HIIT training you are?
Yeah.
It's very difficult, and people start to become a bit lost with that. Yeah. And there's pros and cons to that, because there's obviously the competitive side where people want to be able to measure themselves up to someone else. And you can't necessarily just be like, well, I'm fitter than them in a class, because how do you measure that?
Burpees per minute?
Yeah.
How many calories per?
But with strength training and with running and with any kind of endurance event, you can put a measurable on it, and you can say, like, I conquered this distance. And I think that's a healthy way to look at it. When it starts becoming about, well, when we start becoming obsessed with time and stuff, then maybe there's something to look at. But I don't think there's any harm, and I think it plays a huge part in the way, in how your mindset sits and how you exercise, we get so much joy out of, like, for example, marathon training. Every week you're running further than you ever have, if it's your first marathon. That's incredible. That's amazing. And I was talking to the guys at Strava about it the other day, and I was saying it's really sad that we get a lot of feedback on our Strava from people being like, oh my gosh, you're so quick.
Yeah.
You're so fast. How do you keep up that pace? First up, we're not that fast. Mm. If you compared us to the population, we're not. And that's great. And we, you know, we're very proud of our pace. But actually what we're far more proud of is that over the last 8-10 weeks, our bodies have gone out and ran distances that a lot of people won't walk in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are strong enough to get up and go and run for an hour. That's not an easy feat. That's tough.
Yeah.
Yet our bodies continuously do that and continuously get stronger. Now that's cool.
Yeah. But that's amazing because that's your mindset. So there's goals. Obviously, I'm a big believer of like setting yourself goals. But then what's your advice to someone to not be getting obsessed with the wrong goals? Or what if you go out that day and you don't hit that goal?
Yeah.
And you don't hit that PB? Like, how do you get over that? And how do you have them? Like, you girls clearly have a strong mindset, but there are a lot of people in this industry who perhaps don't. So how would you say to someone, like, as long as it's making you happy?
Yeah, well, I think
I love that.
Like a half marathon, as an example. So you signed up for a half marathon. The first thing, maybe on that, like, then the list goes, as you said, like, goals within goals.
Yeah.
So the first one's like, you know what? I don't think I'm ready to go out and run. I haven't run for ages. The first thing might be like, I'm going to go on a walk on my own. And that's going to be your first thing to tick off. And then you're like, okay, maybe I'm a bit scared of running. I'm going to go join a run club. So my first run is going to be with other people. Let's tick that one off.
Yeah.
And maybe the next one is, okay, I'm going to go see if I can run 5 miles on my own. And you only did 4. Well, that doesn't matter. You ran on your own. That was half of that goal. So
it's
like
getting people to kind of see, I guess, what they have done instead of what they haven't achieved.
Yeah.
And that's something in any training, I think, like I've seen with so many of my clients, is they'll go, oh, but like, I'm still not quite there yet. And I'm like, yes, but when you came to me 3 weeks ago, you couldn't even lift your body weight up. So like, it's about kind of, changing or acknowledging.
And so many people are like, oh, don't look back unless you're planning on going there. And like, yes, that does have its place, that motto. But also look back and be like, you know what? I'm epic. Look what I've done. Like I started and I struggled to like walk at a fast pace without getting out of breath. Then I walked and ran, and then I threw in some weightlifting, and then and you can do all these things that you couldn't do a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
That's insane.
We get it a lot with marathon training, and that people being like, well, I was supposed to hit 20 miles this weekend, but I'm not up for it. And so one thing that I was talking to a girl about the other day was like, why don't you focus on being out on your feet for that time? So say you've got a 20-mile run and you think it's going to take you 4 hours or 3.5 hours, whatever. Just set yourself the goal that day of being out on your feet for those 3.5 hours. So if you start on a run and you run for an hour and you get a bit tired, then you then walk for half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And then you run again. And you have still then been out for that 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Spent the time on your feet, which is what endurance training is about. Getting your body used to being on your feet for that amount of time.
Absolutely.
Whatever it is you're doing. You haven't failed. You haven't let yourself down. You haven't not gone out and done what you've achieved. You've done exactly what you've achieved. You've just done it at a pace you need to.
So we're obviously talking a lot about the marathon training now. So you've got, what, just under 4 weeks to go?
Yes. 4 weeks tomorrow.
No, no.
Isn't it? 3 weeks tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wow.
3 weeks tomorrow.
So hang on.
No, it's 4 weeks tomorrow.
Four weeks tomorrow.
Sorry, we'll get there.
What day is
22nd.
Ah, so this will probably be out before then. So last minute tips for anyone else doing the marathon.
Don't panic.
Brilliant.
I like it how we both said it with panic.
Yeah.
It's such a panic. So you've been doing the marathon training for how long? How long have you been training for this now?
This time we actually found out with a reasonable notice. Because last time we had 12, 10 weeks. So we've had like 10 months.
And what's the process been?
10 months.
10 months?
No, we haven't. Since January.
We've been running it.
Yeah, but we probably didn't start training.
Oh, yeah, but we've known.
Yeah.
It was happening.
Yeah.
And what's the process been? Like, how much of a steady, like, slow process has it been? Or
we had a bit of a strange one because we had a really big challenge at the start of January. So we actually ran from London to Birmingham. So we did 5.5 marathons in 5 days. And that was so that's when people are starting their like 5 milers. We had so then we kind of had to come taper and then train. So we didn't have the most classic,
but also it's important to remember that our bodies can run these distances and have run these distances in the past, and we are runners. So our training program is very different to someone who is just starting out and running a marathon for the first time. Our training program contains a lot of strength training. It's probably like 60% strength training, 40% running up until the last few weeks, where obviously the mileage increases, so that takes over a little bit. But we always kind of say to people, we get asked a lot, like, what should I be doing? What split should I be doing, weight training and cardio? When should I be running? When should I be cycling? Yeah. What type of cross training should I be doing? It's obviously totally different for every single person. Some people can go and run 4 or 5 times a week and be absolutely fine, not suffer any injury, not suffer any niggles, and be fine. There is a lot more to marathon training than just running. We made the mistake in 2015 of just running, and we ended up injured.
And doing a lot of plyometric work. Yeah. Like, wait, no more weights, don't need any muscle mass, let's just do jump races and just running.
They still do a lot of strength training, heavy weights.
Yeah, I'm actually talking about this the other day with Brad, as single leg work.
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah.
Because I was so bad at single leg work, so I just didn't do it because I wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
And that's the worst excuse in the world, but it's true.
It's the key excuse. That's why I don't run.
Yeah.
I don't run because I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
And I really want to, but I just don't know where to start.
Yeah, and since I've done that, I've built so much more stability into my running stride and power, and it's just made a huge difference.
Stripping everything back, I think, is so important. Like, when people say, where should I start with my strength training for running? Just basic movements, basic compound movements.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about it on our social, and we've got kind of lots of examples of them, but you don't need to overcomplicate it. You know, there's no point in looking at like an Olympic runner and seeing them doing all these crazy balance and stability exercises and assuming that you need to be doing those. Maybe a very stripped back version of those, yes, but actually a lot of it is just looking at those big lifts and how they engage the muscles you're using when you run.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said about not comparing yourself to others. So in every podcast I've done so far and every topic we've been talking about, a lot of that has actually come up about comparing yourself to others. So I guess there's two routes here. There's obviously who inspires you, but then there's obviously what do you do about comparing. So with running, I actually don't run because I won't run with people, because I don't think that I'll never be their level. But running on my own, like you said, I'm just like a bit scared to do it. So how do you overcome and kind of comparing yourselves, especially yourselves? To me, you guys are really like elite, you're so good. But then to you guys, you're probably like, no, there's so much we can't do. So how do you kind of overcome comparisons?
Firstly, we're humans. You're always going to compare yourself. I think you just have to. You know, I see so many stories. I love it, but it's like, I will not compare myself to strangers on Instagram. That's great, but deep down inside, you're always going to compare yourself. And it's being okay with those comparisons. And we follow Dame Kelly Holmes because she has been the childhood hero of ours. And I looked at her and I compare myself, but I feel inspired. And I'm like, she is absolutely epic.
Yeah.
And I know I'll never be as good as her, and I'm at peace with that. So I think
just allowing yourself to be inspired by those who you're comparing yourself to. I guess maybe in the running industry, you don't really get that kind of comparison where you're then not inspired by their message, because everybody's in this for the bright.
And also, we say we do kind of like, I say trail running is a very loose term, because we obviously plan our own races and we don't really tend to
too much mud.
No, we don't tend to do that many organised ones. And that's not to say that we won't in years to come. We probably will, because there's a few kind of famous races that would be cool to take on. But when you're at the start of a trail race, you are starting with the elites.
Mm.
So you never would you go and play a professional football game.
Yeah.
Against a professional footballer, because it just would never happen.
No.
Unless it was some kind of charity or whatever. When you're on the start of that line, you are starting with everyone who is from their first trail race to their 152nd
we'll
trail race.
We'll start the same whistle or gun, whatever you want to call it. But that's...
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
And then there's literally no other sports that allow the elites to mix with the muggles
on that level. Yeah, exactly. So, mate, so really, like, I mean, listening to you girls, your mind, it's really all clearly in your mindset, because you girls have such a good mindset. You know, you're talking about the marathon and being like, well, there's so many different people at all levels there, so we're all in this together. And actually, I think that's such a key thing to remember. And I think that should go across all training as well as running. Like, you're not competing against anyone. Yeah. And it's really about what you said is, like, being the happiest you.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much to be said about,
I think, with running as well, because there is that visual finish line. So it really doesn't matter how long it takes you to get there. I mean, sometimes you might not actually get to the finish line. That's okay. So you might do it next year and you do. But there is that physical line, maybe. You get there and you're like, I did it. I was 4 hours behind the first person that got here. I don't care. Yeah. I've got here as well. And that true definition of finish line feeling just is so overwhelming.
Yeah. I think the thing that we probably compare ourselves more on, and it's something that we're kind of really trying to work on, is we pride ourselves on not knowing a lot of about running, but having a lot of experience in it. Or more so than kind of a lot of people who kind of in similar situations. And in terms of kind of educating people, a lot of the education we do is through Brad, and that is because at this time, at this moment, we feel like we have a lot more to learn, which is great, and we're really excited to learn that. So I think we probably compare ourselves more on how much we've still got to learn to be in the position we want to be able to be advising people. For example, when we get sort of pictured as running experts, we're like, our expertise comes from experience, and it's not necessarily expertise, it's experience, it's personal experience that people can relate to. And I think that's why it goes down so well. There's still so much more we have to learn about kind of the science of running, or the movement of running, and all these kinds of things.
So it's all about also knowing that, I guess, you're always growing and always learning as well. So someone's a new runner, so literally take me, for example. I don't think I've ever run anything more than 5K. I was a sprinter, I was a short distance sprinter, gymnast, dancer, quick bursts of fast movement. So I'm a newbie runner. I want to set myself the challenge, though, this year to, like, get myself up to a 10K, or not even, just get out there and run. What would you say to any newbie runner that wants to run a little bit more?
Start slow. Don't suddenly be like, I want to run 10K, so tomorrow I'm going to run 7. Like, one, the biggest thing we find is people have in the past created a negative association with running because it's the first sport they took up, probably to lose weight.
Yeah.
Because everyone tells you, if you run, you're going to lose weight. So they take it up as that kind of that mechanism of losing weight, and you can do it, you can step out your door and you can run. So immediately any kind of association you have with it is negative, and you probably didn't enjoy it that much, let's be honest. It's like, if someone asked
because
me
you
to
were
go,
going for the wrong reasons.
Exactly. If someone asked me to go and rollerblade, I probably wouldn't enjoy my first time that much because I'd be terrible.
You'd be on your face.
So it wouldn't be that enjoyable. So start slow. Start with just saying, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do 15 minutes of running. I'm going to go whatever pace I want to go at, and I'm just going to be out there 15 minutes on my feet, seeing how it feels, testing the waters. And then if you enjoy it, go and do it again, and do it until it feels good. And once it feels good, go a little bit further. There's no rush. There's no race. You know, you're literally starting out here. And as your body starts to get more comfortable and stronger and more efficient with this running thing that you're doing, you will obviously start to enjoy it more because it will feel easier and you'll begin ticking boxes. I'm not saying do this right the way up until you get to a marathon, because it probably would take you a long time and there's and all the other things you would need to be doing to support that kind of distance. But if you're starting out and you're just looking to kind of
find enjoyment,
get some mileage in, then just take your time.
Yeah.
Don't rush.
I love what you said actually about, I never thought about it like that. Running, it was the first thing anyone ever did, and it was to lose weight, and it was coming from that place of hating your body, so you just got to go for that run.
Burning calories.
Yeah, it was literally burning calories. So like, I have such a like thing against it. And also I think because it's something, when you're sporty and you're good at doing sports and you pick things up quite quickly, so then going to something that really is a matter of practice, like skiing, it's about practicing, isn't it? You're very lucky to just go into running just because you're fit and you've never run before and be able to run.
It's still a skill. You can get up, everyone can walk and everyone can run, but it is still a skill, and it's a skill that you do need to refine as such. Like, it doesn't come like, you can physically put one foot in front of the other quickly, doesn't mean you're doing it right, it's kind of the wrong word, but efficiently. Also, as you said, start certain, that's a perfect thing. Don't be worried like going out and shuffling around the park and being like, oh, everyone's looking at me thinking I'm running. They're not. No one knows how far you're running. So then you could be running 20 miles that day. No one knows, you might be running just a kilometre. So don't be like, oh, people are overtaking me. Well, they might be running a third of the distance you're running. It's so nice just to be out there. And none of you start in the same place and none of you finishing in the same place. So it just doesn't matter.
You run in the same ground.
Do you generally run in the park, on the pavement, on the roads?
As much off pavement. It's quite hard in London. We normally head towards the river. Just because in the towpaths, it's like quite nice to run on.
I mean, we do end up doing a lot of road running because we're in London and it happens, but we try to do as much as we can off. I think another thing, going back to that kind of negative association thing, is you probably ran as a kid, and if you were good, you might, not that I was as good as Emily at all, but if you were good, you might associate it with knocking seconds off or time off or feeling quite pressurised, because it was quite a pressurised environment.
Even at like school in PE.
Exactly. And if you weren't good at it, you associated with being really bad at it and being the last one over the line and all of these things. So it's about kind of
changing your mindset.
Just completely forgetting all of that. A lot of runners you speak to, if I listen to a podcast a lot called Tough Girl, which I love, it's about all these women who do kind of crazy endurance challenges, and a lot of them are runners, and 70% of them will say, I wasn't sporty at school, I hated sport.
Really? Because I think a lot of people we meet in this industry were really sporty at school and did have some sort of like sport background, and then we've all found ourselves like desperate to share and like get back into that sporty kind of mindset that we're all like helping others. So I've never ever thought of that kind of training back to your childhood and your youth, because all these podcasts on everything we're talking about, whether it's love and relationships, it always stems back to your childhood. And it's so interesting. I remember PE, and I was one of the ones, we would sprint and I would be the fastest and I'd be the first, and there'd be people who were like, I cannot run, I cannot physically run, and you could see on their faces that they were just like heartbroken, like absolutely heartbroken. When it came to doing the long distance stuff, I was that heartbroken person. Like, I couldn't do it. I was like, I cannot run more around 200 metres. That was me done. I was hurdles. It's so interesting to think of that mindset. Like, I bet there's so many people listening to this going, oh my God, you're so
For me, I think a lot of people who are sporty at school have gone into the gym. And actually a lot of people who weren't go into ultra running and sports, where it's a much smaller community. There isn't a sense of rushing. There isn't a sense of measurement as such. It's just a sense of being there and actually finally enjoying it.
And also, I don't want to touch too much on it, but I know there'll be people wanting to desperately know food when it comes to training for a marathon like this. What does your food look like at the moment?
What it normally does.
The volume changes.
Maybe a tiny bit more simple.
And also, like me, for example, I struggle quite a lot to put on muscle because my body doesn't hold muscle that much. I'm naturally, like, if I didn't train, I'd be probably smaller than I am even now. So as soon as I begin upping my mileage, my muscle mass drops. It just goes. And so I look like I've lost a lot of weight, and I probably haven't really lost that much weight. Well, I have, but in muscle, I haven't necessarily lost fat because there wasn't a great deal to lose. So I made a conscious effort of increasing my calories by quite a lot and making sure I was getting on more than I would happily, but you know, I just made sure I was conscious of eating enough. And that sounds like a really silly thing to say, because we always kind of talk about how we've got really good appetites, and we do have great appetites, and we have very healthy relationship with food. But it's important to know how much energy you are spending when you are training for something like a marathon.
I guess when you're training for a marathon, it is actually completely the opposite. And this is what we've been talking about. We're talking about food and other podcasts and like counting calories and macros. And I was like, I think unless you are training for something, then why would you count? Like why, if you've got stresses around food? And I think this is actually the key kind of message if people have been listening to a number of our podcasts. But you guys are training for something. So this is where it's necessary for you to understand what's maybe energy's coming out and energy that needs to go in. And that's when it's okay to like...
Yeah, also your hunger is just going to, like, we joke really about it as well, which is almost kind of wrong. We're like, oh my God, the afternoon after running and the next day, like, I could just eat everything.
Yeah.
And actually, like, within reason, you need to, because on a normal strength training, so like strength is great for losing weight as well. I'm not saying like it isn't, but you're only moving away a set amount of times. So your calorie burn is going to be so much lower than running. Every stride you're moving, for me, I'm nearly 65 kilos. You're moving 65 kilos every single stride. And at the weekend I ran for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So that's like, for me, it's neat. 1,500 calories, whereas a weight session will be about 300. That is going to really replicate, obviously, in how much you want to eat that day. So the hunger is going to be there.
So do you eat before you train, eat after you train?
Except for long runs.
What do you tend to usually fuel on before a run?
Porridge.
We've tried and tested
everything.
Our pre and post meals a million times. And although we'd like to say, like, it's cool, let's be flexible, eat what you need to eat. Like, we have the same meal before a race and breakfast, dinner.
So what's dinner the night before?
Pesto.
Oh, lovely. You're basically carb load, like giving yourself energy and fuel. It's very much like, this is what I used to do before I would go out and do a competition with cheerleading. It's sport. Your performance-based sport. And I think that's where the industry maybe has got a little bit lost in. And what goes back to what you said about, what are you doing this for?
Yeah.
What are you going to train for? Because are you going to train for a performance-led sport, like success, like actual milestone, or are you just going to the gym to feel good and build up your strength, or going for a run just to get good at running?
Yeah.
And whatever your training is, like, food plays a huge part in not just fueling it, but there's so much emphasis on the relationship between food and exercise.
Yeah.
And what you were saying about not counting your calories unless you're training for something, I think is bang on. And actually, when me and you kind of sat down and discussed, like, that I'd need to increase my calories, mainly because I didn't want to lose any more
weight. Yeah.
Not because I was like, it wasn't super thin, but I just didn't want to. My personal goal didn't want to. And so I was like, okay, I'll track for a few weeks just to make sure I'm eating enough. But actually what I found was that I was having so much in the evening, because even though I was still eating a good amount for the amount I was training and the amount that we discussed, it was more. So then I stopped, and actually I then spread my food out way better because I just ate kind of throughout the day.
When
I was hungry, rather than having these meals that were kind of set or whatever.
Yeah.
And then suddenly at the end of the evening, I'm like, crap, I've got like 1,000 calories to go. How have I done that? And so actually, it totally depends on what works for you. And obviously, because my days vary and I don't like having massive meals. Mm-hmm. I much prefer to have like 4 or 5 smaller meals and lots of snacks, which I know has pros and cons, but that's personally how I like to eat. So it actually worked better for me, and I feel like I'm still hitting what I need to be eating. Like, I'm not hungry, I'm training well, and my performance is still there. So I think it's kind of comes down to what works for you.
Also, again, another thing which is like following suit with everything we're doing here is you've listened to you. And I think, again, that's something that a lot of people aren't doing in the industry at the moment, is listening to what they want, when they want, how they want it. So being intuitive and eating when you're hungry, and not just because you have to, or because, and that, again, I got into that state and I wasn't training for anything in specific other than to look good.
Yeah.
And I was eating because it was mealtime, and then I had to hit my protein. And I think, again, what you've just both said is you both are listening to you. So you have also kind of touched on something I really like to say. That when I was a child, my body was my tool and my food was my fuel. That was my relationship with food and exercise. And I feel like somewhere along the line, as we grew up and got lost, it was like my body was my body and food was earned by what I was training. And it's something that, like,
it's for so many people that are such a, like, a really
just a
simple way of looking at it. And it's so sad, like, even we have those days that I will admit, like, I'll look in the mirror and be like, oh, I wish this bit, like, wasn't there. And then there's sometimes time when I actually spend time with the girls I was at school with, and they're all in great shape, but they don't, like, weight train. I think they're just they've got amazing bodies. And then I actually stand next to them sometimes. I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't weight train as much. Like, I do feel big, like I feel bulky. And then actually I step away and I'm in other environments. And I'm like, well, I actually want more muscle mass. Yeah. I look pretty twiggy next to this person.
It's
so
tough.
It is just, as I said, you're always going to compare yourself to other people. But at the end of the day, if you are on the whole looking in the mirror and be, I'm proud of my body. And we actually look at what it can do. And I think that's so important. The only time we get annoyed with our body is like, when it goes wrong, like when we went to Birmingham, I had one day I had to stop early because my knee just reached a point, and that was really hard decision for me to be like, I've got to stop.
Yeah.
And I was really annoyed at my body.
It was also really difficult because I kind of watched you break down, and it's how I imagine a lot of people. And again, we always say we're so lucky and that we've always had a very healthy relationship with food. And, and I've never really been exposed, a few friends, but never really been exposed that heavily to a really terrible relationship with it. And I think if I have, I can think of sort of one scenario where I almost just kind of ignored that point and just took it that she was ill and she needed me there to comfort her rather than the relationship having to share with food. But I think, like, as I said, always say that we have been super, super lucky and have never suffered with that kind of relationship with food, and have always seen it as we're proud that it fuels our body in the way that it can rather than earning it or burning it or whatever. And it's also important to look at the way, obviously sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I could carry as much muscle as M. But actually, if I did, I'd look very strange. I'd look very old. I'd even look strange when I put on a little bit more muscle than this, because my body is naturally small.
I think that's the key thing here, is that you girls have really mastered, I guess, what, you know, you're making me want to go, right, maybe I should get into running. It's actually, you're working towards something. It's what fitness should be about.
Yeah.
It's what health is about. You know, you're fueling your body with what it needs when it needs it. You're listening to your body with what it wants, how it wants it. You're training towards something and that has meaning, and also helping people. And I think for me, that's why you girls, there's been a lot of duos popping up and you girls have been there from the beginning, and you stuck true to yourselves, and you are now the only duo standing in the industry. Like, because you have a mission. You know, we've all been there. We've seen it. Like, there was a moment in time where there was like 100 duos, and I remember Tess,
they had laundry problems.
Literally, they were trying to get Tess and I to do it, and we actually decided not to because we just didn't want to commercialize our friendship, and we were actually very different. We didn't have a message to do together, and I think that's what's so good about you girls. So I mean, we've covered so much ground here, but I want to ask you just a few really short questions just so that people can take some things away. So you mentioned, Hannah, podcasts that you listen to. So what are some of both of your favorite podcasts that some of these girls can...
You're better at podcast listening to me. I used to listen to podcasts, and then I didn't have any music on my phone, and then you hit me in with your Spotify. Now I...
Where do you get all your resources from?
Podcasts. So I love Tough Girl, which I've heard a lot. It's really, really cool. It's run by a lady called Sarah. She's epic. She did her own big challenge and talked about it. They also do a really cool series where they follow 12 women for a year who do a challenge every month, and they don't have to be big challenges. A friend of ours, Georgie, one of hers was like a Tough Mudder, and then the other one was like a ski marathon, you know, totally kind of varied and totally ranged, which is really, really cool. We really like Train Smarter, which has just been taken over by a really good friend of ours, Luke Tversky. And I've probably said his name wrong, but anyway, he'd tell me off anyway, for however I said it. But his podcast is really, really cool, and he interviews lots of incredibly inspiring runners, including one of our firm favourites, Susie Chan. Definitely give that one a listen. Yeah. It's really, really cool. She talks a lot about cheese, which I love.
Your face was quite shocked when I gave you vegan cheese. Vegan cheese.
It was
really good. Did make it very creamy. Hashtag Authentic, I really, really like, for more of a kind of like day-to-day stuff.
Actually, Walking the Dog. That's
love
a really
walking
nice
the
one.
Dog, yeah.
Do you know what I was going to say to you? When you're running, what?
I actually
just
quite a lot of M&M.
For 2 hours, do you just listen to music?
Girl power.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you ever actually just run in silence?
No.
But I listen to music now because you listen to music.
Yeah. We tend to have one headphone in so we can hear, like, the ear that's closest to each other will have out. So
what, you share headphones when you run?
Well, actually, no, I've got a new pair of headphones.
You run that close to
They're pods. So I wear one and she wears the other, and they're not connected.
Share headphones.
And,
you.
And then we sing to each other.
Yeah. we sing a lot.
Have you created your own playlist then? Yeah.
You haven't actually, but we should.
The cheesy playlist as well, that's great.
Not Destiny's Child.
A piece of toast with some cheese on it as a logo, and that is fantastic.
And you never get bored. 2 hours is a long time.
Honestly, we sing a lot. Like,
I used
people
to,
like, no, you don't. And I'm like,
what, you just sing when you're running?
I used to listen to the radio as well. My old iPod, you could just plug in and it was a radio. I used to listen to Innuendo Bingo on my run.
I probably could
have
listened to
podcasts. I love you guys.
As it gets longer, maybe, like, I would, but we haven't. Because when we do the 50Ks,
we don't
listen
to music.
Okay.
First thing
how
we did was...
How long did the 50k take you?
Because it's off-road and we carry like food and all our own water and we're like 7-8 hours. But yeah, the Grand Canyon, I carried a speaker for the whole thing because someone wanted music. And we got to the top and it was 4 o'clock in the morning. It was -4. And we say it was like going underwater as you drop down into this canyon.
Yeah.
And we were like, we can't play music.
We didn't hear it because I think we forgot we had it.
It was just so beautiful.
And we were talking quite a lot. Like,
yeah,
especially on the way down.
You must talk a lot.
Also, you have to shout because if you're following each other, the second person can't really see.
Yeah.
We have a weird language when we talk. So it'd be like, hole, step, jump. And then every time we sip water, you say sip so they don't forget to drink.
Do you guys ever argue? You spend a lot of time together.
We do sometimes.
We like bicker almost.
You live together, you have a business together, you run together, you train together. Do you never just want, like, no time together?
We don't actually.
If we do that, we'll just go to our room if you like to spend your work.
Is that not weird then when one of you goes to your room? Was that like,
voice note to
each
other
because you can't email each other. Yeah. But we're actually very different, so we know what annoys the other person. Like, I'm terribly disorganized with household chores,
but
and I just don't really do them unless they're in my room. Like, my room's always tidy, but like washing and things like that, I can't load the dishwasher. I'm terrible at hanging out my bedding, all these things.
Any item.
Yeah.
Not just bedding.
Here we go, I've got a little niggle.
It is literally like laundry.
It's like husband
me.
Wife.
It's like, and then email something like
emailing.
Me.
I'm like, how have you sent this email, read it, and thought it was okay?
She's like, why have you sent them a smiley face?
Yeah.
I'm like, because they don't know the tone.
Have that as well. It's like, babe, you can't send a kiss to a client. I'm like, why?
I don't know. But best wishes. What? In any way, does best wishes scream twice the hell?
Yeah.
Would you go?
Best wishes? No, it doesn't scream at all. I love that. I'm getting a little bit of
at school, this is how I was taught to finish all the letters.
Regards.
My regards.
Oh, girls, it's been absolutely amazing. Any other challenges other than, I know you've got the marathon, but is there anything else that you're working towards now in terms of
there's
a lot coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, maybe we just say...
A British 50K this year.
British 50K, which we'll reveal.
And then next year, maybe Australia, maybe South Africa.
Yeah,
wow.
And then one other kind of biggie that we won't talk about yet. We have actually told all those people, but anyway, more exciting.
Another UK one.
The Australia one will be super fun because it's something slightly different. We're thinking about going to do the Gold Coast Ironman.
Wow.
As a trio. So a friend of ours, Chloe Trigg, who is... talking about inspiration, probably one of our biggest inspirations. She's an absolute hero. So she'd cycle, Emma would swim, and I would run. And then we would go for a little travelling adventure afterwards. So that would be really, really fun and something slightly, I guess, not that different for me because I'd be running. But Emma and Chloe will be in your adventure. And it will be different for me because for once...
To run on your own.
I'll run on my own and it will also be a little bit about time. And that is kind of my big goal for following the marathon is to improve my speed and power so that I can run it.
And what is your timed goal for the marathon? Do we have one?
Sitting around 3.5.
Yeah. And as long as we're happy.
Our goal with the
marathon... As long as I'm not crying for 5 miles, then I'm fine.
Our goal with the marathon was to run a comfortable marathon, which I know sounds crazy because how comfortable can a marathon really be? But it's one that we finished...
As comfortable as uncomfortable.
Feeling happy and feeling good and not in a bundle of
pain.
Tears on the floor.
The girls are literally just a bundle of happiness. And also, we will be launching a Run to Brunch series with you guys.
Yes!
So people can come and run with you and have brunch with you and just interact with you. So if you are a newbie runner... And I will absolutely be coming on. I won't be there. I'm going to come. You've inspired me. So, girls, thank you so much. You are really inspiring, and you are just like genuinely happy.
Thank you.
Real girls. So
happy.
You fed us and there's dogs here. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, and have a lovely day.
Best wishes.
Bye.
Best wishes.
You have been listening to the Alternatively Healthy Wellness Podcast Series by Becky Rabin. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please feel free to leave your comments and feedback below, and don't forget to give us a lovely little rating. For more information on our podcasts, other episodes, and to find out more about what we do, please visit www.alternativelyhealthy.co.uk. And remember, shaping the healthiest version of you means looking purely at you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.